Good evening. We'd like to welcome you to the Mesa City Council meeting this evening. We'll call it to order. We'd like to start off with a invocation by Pastor Miguel Gomez Acosta of the First Evangelical Lutheran Church. Following the invocation, we will have a Pledge of Allegiance by Mr. Steve Akita.
Great. Pastor, I invite us to please stand.
Please. Thank you.
Good and gracious God, you have called us all to many gifts, and you have given us all abilities for your purpose. We thank you for the leaders, the elected leaders of this community, as they gather today to talk about the business of this city. I pray that you give them the wisdom to do that work and the diligence to do it swiftly when necessary. I pray now that you also be with the community that is witnessing this meeting, that you also give us peace in our hearts and our minds as we gather together to discuss the business of this city. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Facing the flag, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much. We appreciate that. Wonderful. Okay, next item on the agenda is awards and recognitions. And tonight we'd like to recognize Mesa Fleet Services. They received a prestigious award, and we'd like to turn the time over to our city manager to tell us a little bit about it.
Thank you, Mayor. We could have Pete come on up, and we could embarrass him while he stands up here. Each year, the Ford Motor Company has a opportunity to recognize fleets from across the country. And the City of Mesa Fleet Services Department won the prestigious Best Fleet in the Nation Award, sponsored by Ford Motor Company. The award committee was made up of automotive industry experts who independently audited all aspects of Mesa's performance, concentrating on job quality, productivity, and customer satisfaction. Mesa garnered the following awards at their latest conference first part of this month. So as far as they are recognized as an elite fleet, one of only five in the country, number one overall fleet in the country out of 38,000 governmental fleets, number one large fleet in the country out of 38,000 governmental fleets, number two fleet director in the country, so congratulations to Pete. And their certified fleet operations was awarded by the Governmental Fleet Alliance. So I think this is important. A lot of times we have a chance to recognize a lot of departments that are delivering services directly to our residents and businesses and visitors. But tonight we wanted to recognize a significant department that provides support to make sure our departments, whether it's public safety or utilities or any others that have a vehicle or a trailer or anything that rolls on wheels, that they rely upon the fleet services to provide that service, and they've done a wonderful job. So we want to congratulate Pete and his folks for this prestigious honor. So thank you, Pete.
Thank you, Chris.
Pete, show us, did you bring all your hardware or just a little bit?
Actually, we just brought the number one fleet hardware. Oh. We needed a truck to bring all this stuff back. We were lucky this year. But it was a lot of hard work also. It certainly wasn't easy. There's 38,000 governmental fleets in the country, and this panel placed 50 of the top cities in the country, counties, state governments. We were very fortunate. We've had a lot of hard work that we've done on innovation and our quality, productivity. And that has been a real, I think, driver for us. But innovation was what really took the day. We had a number of programs that really saved the city a lot of money. And when the independent judges took a look at that, I think it really was the thing that broke us over from being maybe number five to number one. Not just the quantity of the dollars that were saved, but the innovative use of resources that we had in time. Some of the cities, you know, that we competed with, well, they had a lot of resources. Competed with the city of New York and, of course, all of our large fleets that we had even here in Arizona. No other fleet in Arizona even finished in the top 20. So we did very good this year. But really, representing the folks from Fleet, if there's one message that comes from the rank and file, it's thank all of you, because you gave us all the opportunity to be the very best at what we do and use innovation. Chris is a great supporter of innovation and trying to find another way to do things, not always the most expensive way, but the best way. And having the courage to back away if it doesn't work, but have the courage to pursue it if it does. And I think that's what really made the difference for us this year. So I'd like to introduce a couple of individuals who really, helped make this award something very special. And I'd like to introduce John Milhon, who is our maintenance superintendent.
Come on up.
John's job is running the fleet maintenance repair and division. And then also Jim Ruiz. Jim is our fleet purchasing administrator. So he's running the logistics side and the administrative side of fleet. So on behalf of the 85 folks that work in fleet services, we're very proud of this award, and we're also very proud to be members of the City of Mesa team. Thanks.
Wonderful. Yeah, congratulations. The first item on the agenda is to take action on the consent agenda, which will be read by Mr. Steve Wright.
All citizens are permitted and encouraged to speak on agenda items. If you are interested in speaking, please fill out a blue card in the back of the room and give it to the city clerk. When the council considers the item, you will be called to the podium to provide your comments. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda. All items listed with an asterisk will be considered as a group by the City Council and will be enacted with one motion. There will be no separate discussion unless a council member or citizen requests, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered as a separate item. If a citizen wants an item removed, a blue card must be completed and given to the city clerk prior to the council's vote on the consent agenda. Item 2, approval of minutes of previous meetings as written. Item 3A, act on liquor license application by the Sertoma Club for the Republic Services Arizona Celebration of Freedom, one-day charitable event, Friday, July 4th at 263 North Center Street. Item 3B, act on liquor license application for Queen's Pizzeria, 127 West Main Street. Item 3C, act on liquor license application for Quick Corner, 1605 West Broadway Road. Item 4A, act on 2-year renewal of term contract for armored car services for various city locations. Item 4B, act on 3-year term contract for concession and catering for the Mesa Convention Center for the Parks, Recreation, and Commercial Facilities Department. Item 4C, act on 3-year term contract for promotional items for the Fire and Medical Department. Item 4D, act on 3-year term contract for Juniper Network Technical Support Services for the Communications Department. Item 4E, act on 3-year term contract for water, wastewater treatment, and pool chemicals for the Water Resources, Parks, Recreation, and Commercial Facilities Departments, and Materials and Supply Warehouse. Item 4F, act on 1-year renewal of the term contract for sludge grinder repairs and replacements for the Water Resources Department. Item 4G, act on the 3-year term contract for natural gas pipe and fittings for the Materials and Supply Warehouse for the Energy Resources Department. Item 4H, act on contract to purchase a replacement helicopter for the Police Department Aviation Unit. This purchase is funded by 2013 public safety bonds. Item 4I, act on 4-month term contract for generator rental for the Water Resources Department. Item 4J, act on contract for Mesa Falcon Field Airport ramp rehabilitation and replacement phase 2. ADOT will reimburse the city for 90% of the eligible project costs, with the City of Mesa responsible for the remaining costs. Funding is available from the fiscal year 14-15 Falcon Field Capital Program. Item 4K, act on contract for Ivy Glen Sulfide Control Rehabilitation, 425 West Ivy Glen Street. This project is available from the voter-approved 2006 wastewater bonds. Item 4L, act on contract for Southern Avenue improvements from Alma School Road to Dobson Road. Funding is available from the 2013 Streets Bond Authorization and Environmental Compliance Fund. Item 5A, act on resolution authorizing the city manager to accept funds from the Arizona Supreme Court through a case processing assistant fund grant agreement. The agreement provides funding for overtime expenses at Mesa Municipal Court relating to the Public Safety Assessment Court Pilot Program. Item 5B, act on resolution authorizing the city manager to accept funds to purchase a disk base backup system for the Police Department's Information Technology Unit. These funds are made available from the 2014 Burn Justice Assistance Grant Program. Item 5C, act on resolution approving the use of street assessment statute law for street assessment improvements for Haas and Medina Park and off-site roadway improvements. The roadway improvements are along Haas Road, beginning at Guadalupe Road and ending approximately 900 feet south of Baseline Road. Item 5D, act on resolution authorizing the city manager to enter into an amended and restated community maintenance agreement with DMB Mesa Proving Grounds and Eastmark Community Alliance. Item 5E, act on resolution authorizing the city manager to enter into a community maintenance agreement with Gen Arizona 4 and Estates at Eastmark Homeowners Association. Item 5F, act on resolution authorizing the city manager to enter into a community maintenance agreement with AVH, EM, and Encore Eastmark Homeowners Association. Item 5G, act on resolution authorizing the city manager to enter into an easement agreement with Basis School Incorporated. Items 5H through 5L involve a project on city-owned property located east of City Center or Center Street and on the north and south sides of the University Drive. Item 5H, act on resolution authorizing the city manager to enter into an amended and restated development agreement with Escobedo at Verde Vista. Item 5I, act on resolution authorizing the city manager to enter into a long-term amended and restated ground lease agreement with Escobedo at Verde Vista. Item 5J, act on resolution authorizing the city manager to enter into a long-term amended and restated ground lease agreement with Escobedo at Verde Vista 2. Item 5K, act on resolution authorizing the city manager to execute a long-term amended and restated ground lease agreement with Escobedo at Verde Vista 2. Item 5L, act on resolution to vacate the right-of-way of East 5th Street in the 400 block of North Pasadena for the Escobedo at Verde Vista 2 development. Item 5M, act on resolution authorizing the city manager to enter into a memorandum of understanding with the Mesa Police Association. Item 5N, act on resolution authorizing the city manager to enter into a memorandum of understanding with the United Mesa Firefighters Association. Item 6A, act on introduction of ordinance regarding Z14-026, 620 West Jerome Avenue, located west of Country Club Drive and north of Baseline Road. Site plan modification and modification of existing bonus intensity zone overlay to allow the development of a healthcare facility. Item 7A, act on recommendation from the Audit, Finance, and Enterprise Committee to accept the city's comprehensive annual finance report for the fiscal year that ended June 30th, 2013. Mayor and Council members, these are the items on the consent agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Wright. Appreciate that. Is there any item that a council member would like to remove from the agenda? We do have a request from the public to remove item 4H with regard to the helicopter purchase, so that item will be off and we'll hear after we go through this consent agenda. Okay, we do have a motion for approval of the consent agenda from Councilmember Cavanaugh, a second by Vice Mayor Glover. If there's no other comments, please go ahead and vote. And waiting. Okay, there we go. We have a 7 ayes. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Okay, so we'll take this first item, the item that was pulled from the consent agenda, and that was 4H. If we could have a brief presentation by staff to let us know what we're looking at here, staff member, on 4H, the helicopters. Thank you. Chief, if you'll introduce yourselves.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, Council, Frank Milstead, the police chief for the police department. With me is Deputy Chief Mike Dvorak. We put out a bond proposal for this current bond, for the 2013 bond, asking for a new helicopter to replace 504. 504 was the oldest helicopter in the fleet. It was a 1996 MD-500E helicopter. It is also the one that had a catastrophic engine failure two Sundays ago and had to be set down on an emergency landing. And for all intents and purposes, that older helicopter was totaled. And obviously, there's some discussion going on about how that will be handled with the insurance company and whatnot. We had gone out for the to look for a new helicopter to replace that particular one. The decision was made to upgrade to the 530F helicopter. Basically, the difference is the engine. This engine is a stronger, more powerful engine, which is more adapt to the Arizona heat, increasing, I guess, what you would call the safety parameters for the pilots in using the helicopter in the extreme Arizona conditions. The helicopter was the new helicopter was bid by sole source. The sole source for the helicopter was based on the fact that MD is the only manufacturer of that particular helicopter. They're located here in Mesa, basically across the airfield from the air wing of the police department. Helicopter normally will last about 12 years. The last helicopter, the 96, obviously, we were in our 18th year and approximately 20,000 hours. A helicopter becomes used or old at about the 10,000 hour mark. The idea was that we put in a new helicopter into service, we'll get 12 plus years of service out of it. Right now, the helicopters are being flown about 800 hours a year. We try to keep the consistency in the air unit, albeit the engines are different and not interchangeable with this new ship. As we continue to upgrade the fleet, the idea would be to continue to purchase the 530F helicopter for the reasons stated previously. The new helicopter comes with a warranty. The warranty on the helicopter is for 3 years or 2,000 hours. There is no significant maintenance for the first 3 years or approximately 2,400 hours of the new ship. The new ship also comes with training for five pilots and two mechanics included in the purchase of that particular helicopter. So it's the same airframe. It's a very safe helicopter as the last one. It's one of the safest in the industry and obviously very durable, as we saw in the emergency landing last Sunday. Anything I'm missing, Mike?
No, thank you.
Anything else, Mr. Mayor?
Any questions by the council members for the chief at this point? We do have someone that wants to speak, so chief, if you'll stay close, so
yes, sir.
Maybe respond to some of those. Okay, we have a request by Tina Cannon to speak on this item. If you would come up, Tina, and give us your information, address, and you have 3 minutes.
Thank you. Mayor, council members, thank you for allowing me to speak. My name is Tina Cannon. I live at 3931 East Huber Street in Mesa, Arizona, 85205. I've been a resident of Mesa, Arizona since 1986, and I have owned a small business in Mesa since 2003 and employ 40 residents of Mesa, Arizona. I requested that this sole source be pulled for specific reasons such as I don't think that there's a sole source condition that exists here. I base that on the plain language of the procurement rules for the city of Mesa. In particular, 4.22, sole source procurements. A contract may be awarded for a material or service without competition if the procurement officer determines in writing that there is only one source for the required material or service. Sole source procurements should be avoided. Unless there is only one source for the required material or service, and no other type of materials or service will satisfy the requirements of the city. Further on, 4.22A states, city departments seeking a sole source procurement shall prepare a written request documenting the existence of a sole source condition, including why no other type of material or service will satisfy the needs of the city and the specific efforts made to determine the availability of other sources. The department head and chief procurement officer shall approve the request. In fact, there is an alternative. I wrote to the City Council and yourself, Mayor, back I think about May 15th and said, by the way, there is an option. I have an aircraft, this particular aircraft, an MD-530F, in my facility that's located about a half a mile from Mesa PD. It has 126 hours time since new on it. Literally, it still has a new car smell. Literally, if you would look at the life of the helicopter that's being replaced at 20,000 hours, which, in fact, there is no life to the helicopter. A helicopter is on condition. The components, parts, and pieces, some of them are time-lifed and some of them are calendar-lifed. But the aircraft itself does not have a life. We just actually reconditioned a aircraft that we took in on trade from Honolulu PD that had 21,000 hours on it. We reconditioned that aircraft and is flying today in Honolulu as an exact replica of the Magnum PI helicopter. So I don't understand how 126 hours equates to paying $550,000 more for that helicopter or buying it new from MD. It's a fantastic product. My father worked for Howard Hughes, and I'm very proud that we work on them today. So $550,000 just on the procurement price alone. Then we were actually asked by Mesa PD to quote the options. We did. Our quote was $196,000 less than that from the factory. So for a total cost savings of almost $750,000, additionally, the city would save money on taxes because the procurement cost goes down. I just don't understand how 0.63 of 1% of the life of the helicopter, if you take the 20,000 hours and you take that 126 hours, that's what it equates to. So what you're telling me and the citizens of Mesa, Arizona, is that that 0.63 of a percent, not even 1% of the life of that helicopter, is worth over $750,000. I just simply don't understand that. In closing, what I'll leave you with is that the Department of State came to us a few years ago. They needed five 530Fs to be put into Iraq to carry our men and women that serve us. Their only requirement was that those aircraft had 200 hours or less. So if it's okay for those men and women and the Department of State, I don't know why it's not okay for the City of Mesa.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Cannon. Appreciate your comments. Okay. Any questions? Councilmember Richens, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I guess, is there any, maybe you could come back up, ma'am. Is there any warranty difference? Is there any, you know, some of the guarantees that they have negotiated with the other? I mean, what's the value of that and difference?
Well, based on buying the aircraft new from MD opposed to sourcing options, and I have no skin in the game. It's not my helicopter. It belongs to a client of mine. I just think that it needs some further education by maybe the department and maybe the city council members, because, you know, helicopters aren't something you buy every day, to see if it is a good value. As far as warranty goes, the warranty is 2 years, 1,000 hours at proration, or 1 year and 1,000 hours. And what you have to look at is, what does a warranty cover? The engine, which is the most expensive part of the helicopter, which is not the same as the other engines that are in the other two E models, is not warranted by MD Helicopters. It's warranted by Rolls-Royce. The blades are different. Those are not warranted by MD Helicopters. Those are warranted by the manufacturer over in California, Helicopter Technology. They do not warranty batteries. They do not warranty any avionics. They don't warranty an array of different things. What they're warranty is the workmanship of the fuselage. So, you know, it just behooves me as to how that has that high of a value. If it was 5,000 hours, if it was 10,000 hours, I'd say, you know, yeah, buy a new one. But 126 hours, absolutely not. My suggestion would be for the air unit to come over, fly the machine. I'll pay for the fuel. Fly the machine, inspect it. Inspect the paperwork. Inspect the logbooks. Inspect the parts, the pieces, crawl all over it, and then make a decision. But don't make a decision that's going to cost the citizens of Mesa, which are 452,000 plus, that kind of money. It's just, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Thank you. I think I'm inclined to see some kind of cost benefit on this option here. You know, I know that the chief talked about some of the maintenance is being included. I mean, that's not an amount of money to sneeze at. So, you know, I think.
Well, okay, I appreciate that. You know, I had a couple questions. In your email, you talked about an unofficial estimate. Mm-hmm. So this isn't an official bid that you've done. So how is that working on the numbers? It didn't include warranties, correct, and training for pilots and some of those other pieces that are really vital in what we're looking at?
As the city of Mesa, the city council report stated, there is not going to be any additional training that's going to be needed. Flying the 530F and flying the E models, there shouldn't be any difference. As far as the training goes for the mechanics, there shouldn't be any additional training that goes into that. As far as maintenance goes, as Councilman Richens spoke about, this aircraft that's in my facility just went through its annual. So aircraft go through, like I said, either calendar inspections or they go through life limit inspections for specific components. Aircraft have to go through an annual inspection. They have to also have to go through two-year re-greases.
And
it's already been done.
How much are those inspections? They're a pretty significant amount of money, aren't they, for some of the inspections?
No. An annual and a two-year re-grease is about $15,000, but it's already been done. So this aircraft is ready today, which is another thing that I think it was Sergeant LaDonna had talked about. It could take 8 months to a year to get a new helicopter online. This aircraft is available immediately, and with the recent incident with 504MP, it might be worth it to at least do the investigation, to look and see if it is a cost benefit and the best value for the citizens of Mesa. That's all I ask.
Yeah, and so your numbers didn't include warranty costs or some of those, right? Maybe we can have the chief come up.
What do you mean cost?
How much a warranty costs? Because it's out of warranty, correct? It's a four-year-old helicopter?
It's a four-year-old helicopter, but a lot of the warranties, like I said, you have to look at what your warranty covers. Mm-hmm. So what...
Was the price that you bid us including any warranties? So we'd have to purchase some additional warranties, correct, on some of the equipment?
So what you're saying is that the warranty would be worth $750,000.
Well, I'm just trying to get to, when I look at it, you've put and I think you put the term on there, unofficial numbers, and so... We're taking those at face value, and it's kind of interesting. I don't know if those include everything that were included in the others.
I'm sorry, Mayor. I misunderstood your question.
Yeah.
As far as the warranty for the options that we quoted, yes, absolutely, it includes a complete warranty for all of those options. The reason being is that what we meant by unofficial is that we didn't do an official bid. We weren't asked for an official bid. We were asked by Mesa PD to quote the same options list, and we did that. So that would include, like I'm a certified Garmin distributor. So the Garmin avionics that we were asked to quote, those would come with the manufacturer's warranty. Same thing with MD. You buy a brand new aircraft from MD, and one of your avionics goes out, if it's a Garmin product, your warranty is with Garmin. And the MD purchase agreement actually states that they don't warranty any kind of avionics. You go back to the manufacturer, not to them.
Okay, other questions? Council Member Kavanaugh?
My question is more for city staff. The I know in the bond issue that we had proposed, and my understanding from the City Council and Public Safety Committee's perspective is that we were asking for authorization to purchase a new helicopter. I know in the past, when I've served on council, we have gone the other route and gone through a used helicopter as well. If we were going to consider something other than a new helicopter, again, that would have to be a bid process where anybody in the country could bid on this. Am I right? If we were...
Who can speak to that? We have our procurement folks. Ms. Cannon, if you would just want to have a seat on the front seat, maybe some other questions will come.
My question, it wouldn't be just as easy as going to her company and buying a copter from her client.
Mayor, Council Member, you are correct. If we were to go a different direction other than MD, sole source, then yes, we would put out a bid.
Okay. Thank you. So we couldn't just, even if we wanted her helicopter, it would have to be put to bid, and we'd have to consider whoever responded to the bid and evaluate those.
That's correct. That correct? The specification for a new MD helicopter drove us to MD, and MD is the sole provider of that new MD helicopter. To go any other route, yes, we would go out for bid.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Councilmember Summers, and then
Councilmember. Well, I'm curious because we put out for bid for a new MD helicopter, but it sounds like the air unit looked over this other helicopter or investigated this helicopter or did a cost comparison. So what was the extent of the kicking the tires on the refurbished model or the like new model?
I'm Mike Dvorak, Mayor, members of council. What they were looking for was a bid just on the accessories aspects of it. Since the original helicopter was under the terms of it was a new helicopter, it's not in a bid process. So we were just looking to get quotes from, get some idea what accessory and other specifications to get to the amount of what that would cost, just to give us some idea when they were looking at various options.
What do you mean accessory?
Pardon me?
What do you mean by accessory?
All the configurations that you need for to put the police equipment and various equipment in the helicopter specific to their function.
FLIR, other things.
The different options that they use within the police package.
So I'm just trying to get my head around this. So why would we go to her company to look at the helicopter and configuration and not just go to MD Helicopter where we were sole sourcing for a new one and kick around and work around that?
Right. Well, what they were looking at that particular point was if the negotiations or the pricing of the MD Helicopter not come in, what alternatives would we have to look at? And mainly to get an idea of what that current cost would be from someone local as well. To get some idea of what those cost. When we went through the original, as the chief mentioned earlier, is we were looking at a new helicopter from the beginning. So that's why it has not gone out to bid to look at used helicopters. It's specific to the purchase of a new helicopter, which was the language in the bond that we were looking at. So as was mentioned just previously, if it goes to where we look at other options, it's then a nationwide bid, and then we would put it out, and it could be anywhere. For instance, I believe the last helicopter that we purchased through that means was actually in Chicago, where the bid that won it. So it's a nationwide look at that particular point in time.
Chief Minister?
Just real quick, just to kind of clear up what he's telling you, is we looked at the helicopter new in different configurations. Mm-hmm. You can get it as a ready to fly with the police package and it's all ready to go. You can get it with without all the options and then go to another source for those options. Because of the length of time, the protracted time to get a price and then actually go out to bid, the cost of the helicopter increased. So myself and the manager of the air unit, John Cawthon, we went over to MD and we met with the CEO and told them about the constraints and negotiated a price for the new helicopter completely outfitted that was basically it was pricing that was from the year before. We were able to reach an agreement where we could get the helicopter with all the parts the way we wanted it, ready to fly, with the number of bond dollars that were authorized.
Okay, and again, the reason for looking at her helicopter?
We didn't look at her helicopter. We looked at her parts.
The parts.
Yeah, it was just and she could probably give you more information on exactly what we asked her to spec out. But if we would have bought the helicopter not ready to fly in the police configuration, we could have went to outside and done another RFP
to her company possibly.
Or some other company locally as well. Yes.
Okay. So we didn't spec the okay.
No, we've never kicked the tail on the helicopter.
We never looked at her helicopter. We only looked at. If we weren't going
we were just
to purchase
looking at
everything together, that possibly we
would use her company to
her
buy
company
the
to
parts.
Buy the remaining.
Yeah, the accessories for the helicopter to make it available.
Okay.
Again, the last helicopter that was purchased in 2009, we purchased used out of Chicago. We ferry it from Chicago and then outfitted it. And the last used helicopter was it was actually exactly 2 years in the making from the time that it was purchased to the time that it was flying over the city of Mesa.
Okay. So, and what you're just referring to is the last time we bought a used helicopter. Took us 2 years to put together?
Correct.
It's like an Erector set.
And tell us how that went. How much did that cost?
You know, I asked the same question, Mr. Mayor, and I could not get an actual dollar figure in short notice. The original helicopter was purchased for somewhere around $800,000+, and I do not know what the final dollar amount was. I don't know if John knows the answer to that or not. Do you know, John? No?
It was done in-house.
Yeah. So it was in-house work that was done. So it was time and labor from our in-house mechanics, and then whatever parts were needed and the paint job and those things.
Do I still have the floor?
Please.
Do we have any idea what this company's helicopter is configured as, and then what we would have to add to it to get it up to the specs that we wanted for the one that we're voting on today?
I do not know the answer to that. I've never seen a helicopter, but it would have to be configured for police work and painted. And again, if we go out to RFP and it would be a nationwide, we could get another helicopter out of Chicago or Hawaii or anywhere else, and then we would have to ferry it back and do all that. It wouldn't, like they were saying, it wouldn't necessarily be her helicopter, but you would have to ask her how it's configured. I've never seen it.
Okay. Thank you.
Councilmember Richens, did you want to?
Well, the applicant had a comment.
Please come up.
I'm sorry. With all due respect, I have to disagree with the chief on a couple points. Mesa PD Air Unit came over to my facility and saw this helicopter. They did look at it. And based on the configuration of the helicopter, that was the list of the options that we were given to quote. So we did quote it. I was told that that information was given back to the city and that they chose to buy a new helicopter. That is why I'm here. And again, you know, when you write your solicitation, you can write it any way you want. Just as the Department of State said, they wanted a helicopter that had 200 hours or less. They wanted it on time, and they wanted it on budget.
Who asked you to quote?
That was the State Department of State.
Department of State asked you to quote?
She's using it as an example of something that recently happened, right?
Yeah,
so
no.
Mesa Police didn't ask you to quote?
Yes, they did, sir.
So who in Mesa Police asked?
John Cotham sent us a list of the options to quote. Yeah. We quoted them.
Not the helicopter itself.
No, we gave them a price for the helicopter.
Okay.
So, well, and again, it's not my helicopter. I'm not going to make one dime off of it. Go out and do a nationwide RFP. Say you want less than 200 hours on it. Say you want less than, 300 hours on it. Whatever you may want the parameters to be. State what your requests are. What can the city live with?
So, Ms. Cannon, let me ask you. We want a new helicopter. Can you do that bid for us?
Can I get you a brand new helicopter?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I can. And also the comment
that... An MD helicopter?
Yes, of course. Mm. The other thing is that that helicopter until last year was $2.3 million. And then it went to $2.5 million. So the 2.5 is not last year's price. That is this year's price.
Okay. Councilmember Richens, did you want to follow up with something?
Well, I think I'd like to see this item tabled for a couple of weeks to be able to kind of work through this issue. This is a significant amount of money, and if the issue is that we want a new helicopter, I guess that's one thing, but if the last helicopter we bought was used and it seems to be operating just fine, I understand that there was a time frame issue there. And with that experience, I'm guessing we could probably turn something around a little bit quicker. But I would move to table this item for at least a couple of weeks to look through these items. And I mean, $500,000 is a lot of money. And maybe when we get to the end of it and we look at warranties and maintenance, all those things, the cost savings isn't as significant as it may appear. But I think it's just worth it to, so if the item comes to the floor as is, I'm going to vote against it, but I'm going to move that we table this item for until the next regularly scheduled council meeting.
So we have a motion by, I'm going to get to a motion by Councilmember Richens, but we have comments. Councilmember Benelli.
I have two questions. One is about the training that, Chief, you mentioned when you were given the initial presentation tonight. Talked about training for the helicopter. Is that flight training or was it mechanics training? And I know Ms. Cannon said that training kind of wasn't necessary. So that's something I would assume that we would want to factor into this comparison if we go and do that. And then the other question is about the 126 hours. I mean, it sounds like if we fly 800 hours a year, that's a couple of months worth of flying. And is that, I have no idea if that's a lot of hours or not a lot of hours on a helicopter.
This is John Cawthon. He is the manager of our air wing, and I'm going to let him answer the question about the training because I'm not versed on that. And as far as the hours, yes, it's a small amount of hours for the entire life of the helicopter, and the helicopter itself is 4 years old. So it's been, you know, in a hangar, so not being flown apparently. But I'll let John handle the training and the...
Thank you, Chief. Mayor, Council Members, John Cawthon, Aviation Administrator, and Councilwoman Benelli, to answer your question, part of the purchase agreement that was negotiated with MD Helicopters is inclusive of training for five pilots and two mechanics. Now, Ms. Cannon is correct that this helicopter, the 530F, is very similar to the 500E that we currently operate. There are some differences, mechanically speaking, and that is in the engine primarily, and she mentioned the blades, some other items. The start procedures, some of the specifics of how you actually start this helicopter are slightly different than the current one that we operate. So that would be some of the transition training. Overall training, we probably don't need anything substantial in the sense that you would have to train a new pilot. We have trained pilots. This would be just a safety measure to ensure that, that my pilots, three of whom are certificated flight instructors, would receive this training and then be able to come back to the air unit and train the rest of the pilots to ensure that we are doing everything in accordance with the published manuals. So I hope that answers your questions. Okay. And I'm sorry, ma'am, what was the second question?
The second question was about the 126 hours, but I think the other factor that I didn't realize until you mentioned something, Chief, is the 4 years that the plane, you mentioned flight time, right? In when we do maintenance, that it was also like calendar life and also hours on the plane. So those are two different factors I think that we would have to weigh into the comparison of this used helicopter versus a new one.
Correct. The 4 years, all that really represents is the life of the data plate that's on the side of the helicopter.
And the annual maintenance that you have to do, you talked about some greasing that has to get done.
Yeah, there's a two-year re-grease, but that's more goes to components. So you'll have components, parts, and pieces of the helicopter, of which some of them are calendar life inspections and some of them are time life inspections.
Okay.
Thank you, Councilmember Benelli. Councilmember Luna.
I had a question in terms of, you know, certainly we had the hard landing just recently. Where does that put us in terms of our public safety if we delay this process?
Chief, do you have anything to add before I begin? Right now, 504 MP, the aircraft that was involved in the incident, the investigation is ongoing, and it's been assumed by the National Transportation Safety Board and the Federal Aviation Administration. We will not likely find out anything conclusive for at least another 6 to 8 weeks. The engine has been shipped off to the Rolls-Royce facility, and pending that investigation, I cannot tell you the impact right now that it will have on the air unit, aside from the fact that we have now gone from 3 aircraft in the operational rotation to 2 aircraft. 504, for all intents and purposes, will not be flying again, at least while we have custody of it. All of the insurance issues that are taking place, that aircraft will likely go to salvage as part of the settlement. I don't know that we will actually retain the hull. What that means for us is we'll be operating 2 aircraft to fulfill the same obligation that we are currently fulfilling with 3 aircraft. Based on the maintenance and the way that you run the rotation, we're going to essentially take the stress that we placed on 3 airframes and now transplant it to 2 airframes. And as Ms. Cannon mentioned, the maintenance that is dictated by the Federal Aviation Administration is recurring. It's on a calendar. It's on a calendar year, or you have conditionals. What we do is what's called a progressive maintenance program. So we break up that annual over a course of 6 phases. That allows us to get the aircraft up and running on a more routine basis. So we, at this point, my intention is to make sure that we fulfill flying the hours that we are budgeted to fly, which currently are 2,500 hours. Instead of those being spread among 3 aircraft, they will now be spread between two aircraft. So 800 hours roughly per aircraft will now be assumed by two aircraft at roughly 1250 apiece. Does that answer your question, sir?
So does that put us in a precarious situation in terms of we only have two aircraft now, we really need to get the other one to offset some of those concerns?
It's difficult to say what the impact will be, but I know there will be an impact. The maintenance cycles will increase, and therefore the burden on my mechanics will increase in order to fulfill the operational requirements in flying those aircraft off. Having a third aircraft as soon as possible will be extremely helpful. So if I may clarify, everything that's been discussed as far as buying a new aircraft, we know that going through MD in accordance with the bond language will allow us to purchase a new aircraft, get it in a timely fashion, essentially turnkey, because we're buying the base model helicopter plus all of the configuration that's required by the police in order to fulfill our mission requirements. And right now, my understanding is we should be able to receive that helicopter within 3 to 6 months. If we go out to a bid process, which we can't say with any certainty how that will go, we will have to buy a helicopter, and then we will likely have to go to bid for the completion work. Those two different bids can go to two different businesses, and that will definitely be nationwide, or it could be nationwide as it's advertised. Thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Richens had a follow-up.
Why couldn't we just go bid for the completed helicopter? Why do we have to go to bid for pits and parts and components? I mean, just put on bid. It must have all of these configurations, period. And if it doesn't meet those bid specs, then it doesn't.
So, I don't know that we are precluded from doing that. We may very well be able to write the bid that way. However, we never got to that point, sir.
Yeah, I the comment that the chief made too that kind of troubles me is we take the amount of money we have to spend and we go sit down with MD and say, this is how much we have to spend. What can we get for it? I would never go to a car dealer and do that, chief. It just seemed a little.
Well, we didn't do that either, councilman, to be quite honest with you. The helicopter, when we quoted, was several hundred thousand dollars more than we had. We actually negotiated the price downward like you would do at any car dealership, because we wanted all the options. We wanted the navigation. We wanted the auto-lock feature, the cruise. We wanted the whole nine yards, but we didn't have enough money. So we had to go in and talk to them about how we could make that work. So we actually negotiated the price down
To get below where we needed to be.
Yeah, we didn't have the money to buy what we bought. We had to negotiate it down.
Okay, so you could negotiate here, but then we have to RFP if we go another direction?
How come
you were able to negotiate with this? So we create a sole source. We can go and couldn't you do the same thing with her? Turn around and say, oh, let's make this a sole source, and you have your negotiation too? It seems a little odd that, on one hand, we're negotiating with somebody directly, and then we're trying to push off another process by saying, oh, well, it would delay us all. We have to do all this RFP stuff. So which is it? And all I'm asking for is a couple weeks to kind of go through this and let's look at a little cost-benefit analysis here. And I know everybody wants new and shiny, and that's great, but $500,000 is nothing to sneeze at. All I'm asking for is a couple weeks to look at that, and if it doesn't work out, if it doesn't cost out, fine, it doesn't cost out. I don't know what people are afraid of.
What? Follow up, Councilmember Summers.
I was kind of vacillating between agreeing with Councilmember Richens and moving forward with the purchase, because I understand both sides. They're so sourced, only MD can provide a brand new MD helicopter off the line, and the way it is, and if we're going to buy a used helicopter and we have to bid it out, does that sound, Mr. Brady, about right? Okay. So the question is, do we want to go out for bid again, opening up options both for a brand new MD helicopter as it is, putting them against pre-owned helicopters, or do we want to just do a pre-owned, how we do that? And it seems to me that before we have decided to do, we wanted to go new. That was the route we took with the bond. That's the route we've moved forward with now. I wouldn't mind seeing some more information provided as far as just left and right. We've heard a lot of information here today, Chief, about
why it's a good idea to purchase new, both the training of what's required there, the amount of money that it would be required for the warranties, wherever they come from, the cost of the equipment, why we bought all the equipment on the one helicopter instead of buying the helicopter and then piecemealing out for all the parts. So a lot of this is good information. The only thing is we don't have that comparison for us between buying used and buying new here. What we have is just simply a two-page report that talks about the sole source, what we got the helicopter for, and the deal we got, including the savings, which I think looks like, that's a sales tax number, so I apologize. I guess then the only question is whether the council would like to take, can we take 2 weeks to get a little bit more detailed information about why we went this direction, as a reminder why we went this direction? Do we lose the price of the helicopter if we wait 2 more weeks? What's the downfall to waiting to the next meeting?
So we have a motion that leads right to Councilmember Richens' motion. And if you'd like to restate it, then we'll see if you get a second and have a vote, then we can see if we're going to present.
I just want to know if there's a consequence to waiting for a couple of weeks to get this information, because I think we could probably compile this in 2 weeks. Or does somebody disagree?
I'm not sure that I'm the one to answer the consequences. That may have to come out of purchasing.
Well, I'm sure that we can get MD to hold their pricing. So what we could do is, if the council would like us to, we could come back with a cost-benefit analysis, or at least a cost comparison analysis, mm-hmm. That's a better way of saying it. Cost comparison analysis,
Mike.
Running through all the intrinsics, not just the actual purchase, but the training, because it's the value of what's being offered, not necessarily, it's what you want, but there's value difference. So we can do that. We could easily turn that around in a couple of weeks. We'll pull some of our analysts out of the budget office to help us with that, to kind of give it as a neutral third-party perspective looking at it. And we can bring that back for the July 1st, or we actually have a study session on the 23rd, so we could kind of review that then, and then it'd allow us, if we want, to move forward with this purchase on July 1st. Now, the only caution, just kind of put it in context, obviously the council's prerogative, if we choose not to go with the current purchase with MD Helicopters as a sole source for the new helicopter, we would have to restart and go out for bid with obviously parameters on a used. I mean, you wouldn't just say any used helicopter. You would have to have some parameters if that's the option the council wanted to pursue. So even though an option has been presented to the council tonight to consider, we wouldn't be able to consider it without going back out through a public process.
Okay. Councilmember Benelli.
So, Chris, in that, if we go down this route with the cost-benefit analysis, could you include the additional maintenance that would have to happen to helicopters?
Right, it would have to be, we'll have to do, we'll include maintenance, we'll include
because
the training.
Delay.
And then the council can create value, we'll cost it out, then you can determine is that how much value you want to associate with that as a value comparison.
Okay.
Councilmember Kavanaugh.
Thank you. I don't support the continuance. When we looked at this issue, when the city looked at this issue, we looked at the experience that we had with buying a used helicopter and the lengthy delay in adding that helicopter to our fleet. When you buy a used helicopter, you do run the risk of the unknown. If this was a month ago, I guess I might have supported the request for continuance, but we have one fewer aircraft right now, and we have a need to provide adequate coverage for the community with the two aircraft that are left. What we have in the council report says estimated delivery date August 30th of 2014, and to me that's a positive reason to move ahead with this. The other issue is that there has been extensive discussion and negotiation with MD Helicopters on the price for this, and there was a lot of, I think, challenging negotiation. We all know the CEO of that company is an interesting person, and sometimes challenging to work with. But the company did come together in good faith to work with the police department to come to a price that met all of our needs, and so I don't think the analysis is going to come to a different conclusion other than we should go with a new helicopter. You want to go with a used, I think you run a lot of risk in terms of what you got, and delay, I think, for me, would be not acceptable.
Councilmember Kavanaugh, Councilmember Luna.
Mr. Brady, I had a question relative to, you said used aircraft, not a brand new one, if it goes out to an RFP process?
Yeah. Okay.
So the premise that took place to get us where we are today is the department made a determination along with the purchasing department that there was sufficient reason and purpose to establish the purchase of a new helicopter was of significant importance to the department, that it determined, once it came to that determination, that the only option they were pursuing was a new helicopter, then that led them to a sole source procurement.
Right.
So obviously then they walked across the airfield and went and talked to MD, because that became, as their determination on what they were wanting was a new helicopter. Now, so there wasn't any effort, even at that time, as I understand it, to really do a cost analysis between what is a new helicopter value versus buying a used one of any degree, whether it's a few hours or many hours. That wasn't determined. It was determined, I think, from the feedback they'd had in the past, experience they'd had in the past with helicopters, that this time they were seeking to purchase a new helicopter. Once they determined that new helicopter wanted to have it as the same type of helicopter that's in the current fleet, obviously for keeping, an MD helicopter style, then with those two determinations, that's why you have the sole source purchase that then took place. So when that happens, and they happen every once in a while, and very specialized piece of equipment, then the city begins, really, there isn't an RF. It's a discussion directly with the vendor to try to get the best value for the dollars we have allocated. Does that help?
Yes.
Councilmember Richens, and then Councilmember Summers. By the way, our machine is not working here, the computer, so just wave to me if you want.
Okay. So I'm not as concerned about the used chopper. I think one of the choppers we have now that they refer to is purchase used. I mean, we've done it before, and it hasn't been a huge issue. If we took, for every month that we take, so he said that the hours are 2,500 total. That would be divided 1,250 per ship instead of 800. So that's 450 hours additional per ship. If for every month you take, then it's 37 and a half hours. That adds. So if we add 1 month to this process, it adds an extra 37 and a half hours to that airframe. So that doesn't seem, and that would be a kind of a monthly rate. So it's just doing some quick math. Now, I believe your company is a Mesa company, you said?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and so MD Helicopters was also a Mesa company, and you look at the sales tax, and there's about $250,000. So when we look at the bid, we'll do what we do with automobiles and give the local vendor discount as usual. So it'll be interesting to see how that analysis plays itself out based on some of those parameters. Thank you.
Councilman Richards, can I make one comment?
You can ask the mayor here. Yes.
I'm sorry, Mayor.
Please.
Just one last comment. I've heard a lot about used helicopter, and I think that there's a fallacy that maybe that when you get a helicopter from the manufacturer that there's no time on it. And that's not true. Every aircraft that comes out of the manufacturer, there is time on it, anywhere from 4 hours, 7 hours. I've seen them with 22 hours on them because they have to put flight time on them for flight testing.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Summers.
Mayor, I think listening to everything today, we've had a lot of information come back at us as to why we went down this road. Given what has been raised to this council and to citizens, I think we owe it at least 2 weeks to explain a little bit more detail why it is that staff decided to go down this road and to take an analysis on whether this indeed is the right path. And all we have is a two-page council report, and it's a fine report for what we asked for. But given the situation that has arisen, I think having a little bit more detail and some more meetings on that so that we can explain if this is a direction we decide to go to support the sole source,
then we would have an explanation of why we've a little bit better explanation of why we determine it. So I'll second the motion to table for 2 weeks so we can get a better explanation.
So we have a motion by Councilmember Richens to take the 2 weeks to have staff look into this, seconded by Councilmember Summers. Is there additional comment? I'll add mine in. As kindly as I can say this, in the 6 years that I've been involved on council, watching the aviation unit buy used aircraft has not been a positive experience. Fixed wing and rotorcraft, what seemed like low bid, and this will go out to the nation, world, whatever, to get the low bid on a used helicopter, ends up costing us a fortune in the long run. That's been my experience, and without going into all the gory details, I'll just say I've seen that. I will. My concern also with Ms. Cannon is that her, you know, she's put this number out there. It didn't include sales tax, correct? And I think there were some other numbers left out of there. So it has a startling initial look, and I just don't think that once we decide to go into the used aircraft portion or start bidding, now we're back to the old days of buying a fixed wing that needed tons of work and lots of expense. Same thing with rotorcraft. So I won't be supporting the motion as stated. But we do have a motion and second. Any other comments? If not, please go ahead and vote. Waiting. We may have to do this. Okay. So we have a motion there and second. Now, please go ahead and vote. So we have three ayes with Councilmember Benelli, Summers, and Richens voting yes. And it looks like four nays with Councilmember Luna, Glover, Mayor Finter, and Councilmember Kavanaugh voting no. So that motion does not pass. So with all this information we've had, do we want to entertain another motion? We have a staff recommendation, I believe. Okay, so we have Councilmember Luna has made a motion for approval of the agenda item as stated, which would be the purchase of a new helicopter with the MD helicopters, and seconded by Councilmember Kavanaugh. Any further discussion on this, Councilmember Summers?
Mayor, I would have liked to have had two more weeks just to get a better view of, to be able to explain why it is that we are investing a little bit more money, or let's be fair, it's a fairly significant amount of money in a new helicopter as opposed to going to Mayor, what you so eloquently stated, the issues that we've had with pre-owned helicopters and why we've decided to set this course over going with a used helicopter. I think with just two more weeks, we'd be able to provide a little bit more information to folks. But knowing where we need to go, I think the air unit needs to be purchased. This is the direction that we have set. So even though I would have preferred to have two more weeks, I will support this motion.
Thank you. Other comments? Councilmember Benelli?
I do have a comment. If I could just be updated after this vote or at some point during the week about what all the issues were when we bought the used helicopter, just so that I'm comfortable when talking to constituents out in District 2 about how this plays out. Thank you.
Okay. Definitely.
Just a quick comment that a vote against this motion is not a vote against buying a helicopter. I mean, yes, we need to buy a helicopter. I get that, but just wanted some more time to analyze it. Thank you.
Understood. Thank you. So we have the motion and second. If there's no other comments, and this is for approval of a new helicopter, please go ahead and vote. The motion passes with Councilmember Richens voting nay and all the other council members and mayor voting in favor of. So item 4H does pass. Okay. Thank you for that information, that vote. We'll move on to the next item, which is 8A. Thank you. Item 8A is to conduct a public hearing on the new general plan. This is My Mesa, Mesa 2040 general plan. I'd like to declare the public hearing open. Any comments by the council members on this item? No? Council Member Summers.
Where are we now? On the Mesa General Plan, I just want to make one brief comment. First of all, well, maybe two. First of all, thanking staff for all their hard work once again. We've done a lot of planning in the 8 years that I've been on council, and all of them to such positive effect from downtown, which we're just now starting to see, and the Mesa Gateway area, which has just blossomed into a job hub, probably more than we ever dreamed, even when we were putting our vision onto paper. And I think what we have here before us, once again, is setting forth a vision for the city as a whole, bringing together what we learned citywide. And one of the things that we have learned citywide, and I want to stress, is that this plan and others are really focusing on two things. One is creating great neighborhoods, but preserving our economic corridors, our transit corridors, our airport regions for job growth. High wage job growth, building on the successes of MD Helicopter, Boeing, Apple, Able Engineering, those companies that are starting to call this area home, and recognizing that we need to secure those areas and maintain those areas for that job growth for the rest of the community. So thank you very much for all your hard work, and once again planting the flag for economic development and jobs and creating a situation where people can create better lives. So thank you very much for your hard work.
Thank you, Councilmember Summers. Others? Anybody wishing? Okay. Ms. Mickelson, we do have two individuals that have indicated support. Mr. Kenneth Steele is supportive of the new general plan, and also David Dubay, thank you, is supportive. And it doesn't look like they request to speak unless they want to indicate otherwise. So they've done that. You wish to speak? One at a time. Somebody tell me who's coming up first. Mr. Steele, thank you. Let us know your address. You have 3 minutes.
Hi, Mr. Mayor, members of council. My name is Kenneth Steele. I work at 4041 North Central Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona. As I stated, my name is Kenneth Steele. I'm here on behalf of the Arizona Alliance for Livable Communities to voice support for the This Is My Mesa General Plan for 2040, as it is currently drafted. We believe it represents a strong vision for the future of the city of Mesa and for the future of the state of Arizona. The Arizona Alliance for Livable Communities unites a broad range of planning, public health, transportation, and government agencies throughout the state. Arizonans deserve livable communities, communities in which individuals of all ages, backgrounds, and abilities have the opportunity to live a high quality of life. We believe livable communities can be achieved by providing increased transportation options, improving public health, and promoting healthy lifestyles, providing a range of housing choices, and promoting a strong sense of community and social cohesion. Three of the components of the Mesa General Plan that we believe are worth noting include, number one, the neighborhood and character areas. Mesa has taken great initiative in addressing how neighborhood character is incorporated as a key component of the general plan, and we highly commend this. Number two, healthy community design. Mesa has emphasized the importance of being a healthy community, and we were encouraged to see the inclusion of the impact that the physical environment and not just the healthcare facilities have on residents' health, and the emphasis on incorporating healthy lifestyle options for all residents. Third, we really applaud the transportation options included within the general plan. We applaud the emphasis on the light rail expansion and the increase of safe pedestrian, bicyclist, and transit options in the general plan. The incorporation of a complete streets policy is also a very strong step forward for the City of Mesa. We extend our compliments to the City of Mesa staff, which has done an excellent job of incorporating policies that support livability and community vibrancy. In addition, we would like to thank the community members who served on the Planning Advisory Committee and all the residents of Mesa who have helped develop the long-term vision for the community. We urge a favorable response to the community vision set forth in the This Is My Mesa plan for 2040, and we recommend adoption. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Good. David, would you like to speak?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. My name is David Dubay. I work on public health policy issues with the Maricopa County Department of Public Health, and I thank you for this opportunity to speak just a few words in support of the general plan. The classic definition of public health is what we do collectively to assure the conditions in which people can be healthy. And so I'd like to invite you to just ask yourself a question: am I healthy? And it turns out that the answer to that question is less likely to be on the quality of your health care than on the quality of your environment, of your community. From this view, it's not just the public health department that does public health. It's transportation policy, it's economic development policy, it's housing policy, it's education policy, and others. You have the option here to practice good public health. The general plan that helps create the conditions in which people can live active lifestyles, can eat healthy food, can play in safe place, and children play and recreate in safe places, is a good idea for the city of Mesa. Active transit, I want to specifically mention as a key public health goal. Active transit is getting to work, getting to school, getting to church, going shopping, doing whatever your errands by bike, by your feet, by taking public transit. And one of the reasons we would be so supportive of public transit is that nationwide, the average public transit user gets 19 minutes of exercise a day just going to and from their transit stop. Overall, 30% get their recommended daily activity just getting to work and back by going to the transit stop. A fit community offers increased competitiveness for employers as healthcare costs and disabilities go down and productivity goes up. What Complete Streets offers, which is in the plan, to both residents and visitors is that choice, whether they're going to bike or their walk, whether it's school, shopping, or work. Pedestrians and bicyclists are seen as a key indicator species for healthy and vibrant communities. When you see people walking, when you see people biking around, you know they're shopping local, they're adding robustness, and they're adding vibrancy to that community. I applaud the city staff for the opportunity to really advance the goals of public health in a document that probably many of you didn't consider a public health document, but we do, and I thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Mickelson, were there any others?
No additional requests,
okay. Mayor. Then I'll declare this public hearing closed. Next item is item 8B, take action on a resolution adopting the new general plan. This is the My Mesa 2040 general plan. Okay. Looks like we have a motion by Councilmember Richens and a second by Councilmember Summers. Did any of the council members have any further comment or information? Okay, we'll go ahead and vote, please. And it is unanimous. Finally, huh? Next item is item 9, items from citizens present. And we do have a request to speak. Mr. Wally Rogers, are you still here, Wally? Come on up. You have 3 minutes if you'll give us your address, sir. And
hello. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and council members, for giving me this opportunity to speak. My name is Wally Rogers, and I live at 133 South Hall in Mesa, 85204 zip code. And I'm here to speak about trap, neuter, return program on wild, free-roaming feral cats. It's covered under anti-cruelty statute 13-2910 on a state level. However, we have a serious problem with that because there's no protection offered for fixed, managed, and fed and veterinary cared for feral cat colonies. And what's happening now is people are coming in and they're trapping all these cats that we've spent thousands of dollars on and continue to support. Heck, I don't even have any teeth because all my money goes for cats. But anyway, I'd like to propose adopting a city ordinance with regard to protecting these cats, because obviously it makes no sense for us to be out there in the middle of the night roaming the alleys in dark places where I'm sure none of you would care to go. I myself don't like to go there sometimes, but it's something that's needed to control the cat population as opposed to mass euthanization and overpopulation of the feral cats. But to go through all these steps and measures of the trapping and what have you, and the veterinary bills and the food costs incurred by us that do this, is being nullified and voided by the euthanization and trapping of fixed and managed feral colonies. And I guess that's about all I have to say. I think that we could be a forerunner. City of Mesa could be a forerunner for the rest of the valley in this regard by adding an ordinance to support 13-2910 on the state statute and get some protection for these cats and motivate the caretakers like myself to keep doing what we're doing, which we pay for on a totally volunteer basis out of our own pockets. And sometimes it can become quite substantial. And thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Rogers. Appreciate that. Okay, do we have a motion to adjourn our regular council meeting? Motion by Vice Mayor Glover and seconded by Councilmember Luna. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
We will now start our special council meeting on this June 16th of 2014. Arizona law requires that the council take action on a resolution approving the home rule adjustment in a special council meeting. Item 1A is to conduct a public hearing regarding the continuation of home rule adjustment to the state expenditure limitation. So I'll declare this public hearing open. Do we have any comments from the city council members on this item? No. Ms. Mickelson, any requests to speak on this?
No requests, Mayor.
Okay, then I will go ahead and declare this hearing closed. Item 1B is to take action on a resolution approving the continuation of the state expenditure limitation for the city of Mesa. This is subject to the approval of the voters, and it will require five votes by the city council members. So we have a motion by Councilmember Kavanaugh and a second by Councilmember Summers for approval. Ms. Mickelson's, were there anybody requesting to speak on this item?
No request, Mayor. No.
Council members, any further comment on this item? Okay. If there isn't, we'll go ahead and have a vote. And the vote is unanimous. So this will now, Mr. Brady, if you'll tell us.
So on July 1st, we'll be bringing this and the other items to call the election. You've approved this as the option. And then on July 1st, we'll actually call the election to place this option, home rule option, on the ballot for in November.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Okay. That's all the items on the agenda for this special council meeting. Do we have a motion? We have a motion by the Vice Mayor for adjournment, and we have a second by Councilmember Luna. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned.